great Country Q94. It's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version. We haven't done this in a long time.
It's been a couple months, I think.
I've forgotten, like, what do we do? Do we just...
We just talk more.
We just talk more.
Yeah.
we were talking on the on-air version on Saturday. One of the things that's kind of... Especially in the holiday season, you catch people, or a lot of times you're responding to calls that... It's extenuating circumstances.
Yeah.
You know, money, jobs, I mean... whatever.
Yeah, food insecurity.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about the biggest stressors in an adult's life, you know, mainly comes down to money and work.
Yeah. You know, it's one of those interesting conversations I have with a lot of 15, 16, 17-year-olds where they're like, I can't wait till I turn 18. I'm out of this place. And I remind them, like, that's when the real world hits you right square in the face.
Yeah. And let me tell you, being an adult is zero fun.
Oh, my goodness. You don't realize how great you have it your freshman year in high school when you just have to, like, worry about your locker combination.
Yeah. Or, like, I mean, I remember thinking that, like, homework was, like, the worst stressor in life.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether I was going to get asked to homecoming or
your
prom.
Your cell phone is free.
Right? Yeah. Now, as
Hulu
an adult.
It's free. I just turn on my TV and I.
Yeah. Get or, Hulu. Like,. Food just shows up in the fridge.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I mean, you know, and your mad mom didn't buy, like, the right flavor of Gatorade.
Right.
Yeah. And then you become an adult.
Yeah. And again, life hits you right square in the face. And figure out the real world.
And, you know, I've had this conversation even with our 15-year-old is, like, it seems like you always, like, think you're doing well. And then something like you need new tires,
yeah,
or your vehicle breaks down, or, yep, you know, something with the plumbing in your house or the furnace breaks.
You just catch up.
You just catch up. And
I'm glad that's not just me, for crying out loud. I thought that was just me.
No. From what I've gathered from a bunch of other adults is it seems like every time you get caught up,
that's
it's
life.
You, like, hold your breath because,
yeah,
you know that, like, something, yeah, is, like, okay. What's coming?
Yeah, and we talked on our on-air version about our calls for service around this time of the year. A lot of times, those are the root causes, is we've got families that are trying to make ends meet. They're trying to reach expectations, whether it's of other family members or their kids. And so they just kind of, they struggle. And so, you know, I can think of a couple examples. Last year, the year before, Officer Erickson was dealing with a truancy issue at school. And there were young kids in our elementary school that were struggling to get to school, and one of the things that kept them from school is they didn't have winter clothes. They didn't have a winter coat, snow pants, snow boots, those types of things. And Max came to me and said, hey, I've got this family, and our police foundation, we have a line item in there for families in need. So if we pull somebody over that doesn't have a child safety seat, our officers can have resources to go get a child safety seat to solve that problem, not just, mm-hmm, write the ticket, but solve the problem. And so Max and I went to Walmart and we raided the shelves for some snow boots and snow pants and winter coats and gloves and hats, all of those things that my kids really probably take for granted.
Yeah.
And we just showed up at the house and dropped them off, and hopefully we relieve some of the stressors caused by this time of the year. And that stuff's expensive.
It is.
Yeah. And so,
and it's only gotten worse in the last year and a half.
Yeah, definitely. So we get donations throughout the year from normally anonymous people that just want to help, and they know that we have that connection to the community of people that need the help. And so we appreciate those donations, and they're tax deductible. Our foundation is a 501c3 organization. And you know, another example is we had a gal who we responded to her house, and she was in the process of being evicted, and she just could not come up with her rent money. And so we thought about paying her rent, but we decided to get her groceries and gift cards for more groceries, because she wasn't going to spend the money on the groceries. She could focus that money towards rent. As opposed to the groceries and Christmas gifts and those types of things. So, you know, it's just one of those examples that we find those folks, and really those folks find us because they don't really know where else to turn. And they reach out and say, you know, hey, I need some help. I'm not falling on my feet here. And so we try to fix those things. Another connection we have is with the Rotary Club, you know, the great thing that they do with Operation Santa Claus. We try,
yeah,
to support that as much as we can. We have some great partners with that as well. Milo's Towing comes and picks up all of our food and our toys that we donate there, and hauls all that stuff for us. And as I mentioned on air, the Veteran Service Office this year gave us a $1,000 donation to help out some of these families. So that money will go a long ways to meals. And we just box up meals. We go knock on the door, wish them a Merry Christmas, and give them a meal for that day or, you know, a couple days. And again, it's just that reaching those core needs. I don't know how familiar you are with the psychology with Maslow's hierarchy of needs, but people can't, you know, they can't progress without those basic needs.
Yeah, if you can't eat, you're not really thinking about winter boots.
Right, exactly.
And it's easy for you and I, or, you know, somebody listening right now to go, well, you know, what are they spending their money on that they can't, you know, afford to get boots for their children or whatnot? And it's very easy from the outside to judge somebody.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And, you know, you need to get your life together or whatever. But that really comes from a place of privilege. That, you know, I'm privileged enough that I am fully capable. I am of basically sound mind.
Yeah.
And I'm fully capable of working.
Yeah.
You know, if I were to lose this job, you know, I'm capable of finding another job.
Sure. Yep.
You know, I have a family that supports me. Should I get downtrodden?
Yeah.
Not everybody has that.
Well, and here's really our focus. One of the other really big partners we have is our local principals, and our principals really know the houses of these kids that are coming to school. And so we have paid off student debt at lunches. So the kids just can't make ends meet. The parents are trying to keep up with their lunches. We go to that lunch account and write out a check for that. You're right. People can work, and we run into those people that just choose not to work.
Oh,
right?
Yes. And I'm not saying that's not
the fault of their third grader, their fourth grader, their fifth grader. And so those are the folks that we really try to focus on is, you know, the ones with small kids that, you know, just are just down on their luck. And we try to make sure that those kids are a little more comfortable at school, maybe not standing on the sidelines at recess, have those snow boots, have those snow pants to go out and play and have a good time. And again, forget about kind of the realities that they get stuck in. And, you know, if we can do just a little bit of that part, I think that's an obligation of a police department.
Would you say that calls for, like, domestics go up during the holiday season?
I would say that, yes, that conflict certainly increases. The colder it gets and the more people get cooped up in their houses and can't escape from that environment, our calls for service go up. The other thing that we deal with a lot around the holiday season is mental health crisis.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, loneliness is a terrible thing in people's minds. And so, you know, just that extra phone call, that extra contact, that extra communication goes a long ways. And so, again, if we can meet those basic needs, it allows them to take care of themselves better and progress through those needs and maybe have a more positive outlook on life and positive outlook on the time of the year that we're dealing with.
And I know you've talked about this before. We talked about it during the Citizens Academy, but you know, domestic calls are one of the riskiest for a police officer.
Yeah, and really,
you have no idea what you're walking into.
Yeah, the risk, it's emotions. That's what it is.
Yes.
It's people that, whether it's a husband or wife, that they know when this is over, they either have to stay in this house for survival purposes to make ends meet, or they have to leave and make life-changing decisions that can impact them for a long period of time. And so we try to smooth that process, no matter what that process is, in any way, shape, or form we can. And there's advocacy groups out there that help that as well. But, you know, not just risky in the sense of officer safety, but risky as in long-term impacts. And the vast majority of the time, we don't go to one domestic at one home once. It is a repeating cycle. And so, you know, I tell this to my cops. If we can find the root cause of why we're there, if it's food insecurities, and we can solve that problem, chances are next weekend we're not going to get called there again. And so let's really try to focus on that and figure out how we can help the situation. And handcuffs don't typically solve problems.
No, they don't. And I think this is something that the general public really doesn't understand, that, you know, the behind the scenes police work that's being done is, I think the general public sees you get called to a domestic, you put somebody in handcuffs, somebody has to go to jail for the night. You know, that's kind of the thing for a domestic. And then you throw them back out the next morning and you wipe your hands and you say, no, nope, we're done. Okay, whatever. But even in my ride along time, you know, we were called to somebody and immediately Kurt, the officer I was with, had an idea of what was going on and knew the situation before we even pulled up.
Right.
And you know, after we left, he was like, I just don't, you know, like he was probably for an hour after that going, I don't know what the situation, the answer to the situation is here. I don't know how, what more we can do to help.
Right.
Now, again, that never gets seen by the general public.
Right, right.
What the general public would just see is that a cop showed up, had some words with somebody, and then left.
Yeah.
They didn't correct the problem, when in reality, Kurt spent an hour trying to figure out what a solution to that problem is.
Well, I think one of the biggest misconceptions about law enforcement is that we are problem solvers in the shape of handcuffs, and that's really not the case. We are problem solvers in trying to get people the resources that they need, whether it's a community connection, whether it's a you know, financial resource, advocacy group, mental health connection. We're in the business to connect these folks with the entities that make up our county, make up our city, to try to have a long-term solution to their problems. And again, handcuffs aren't solving problems. And so we really have to think outside the box on how we fix these, you know, the shortcomings, whether it's financial or otherwise.
You going and arresting somebody every single Saturday night is not going to solve the
problem.
Again,
I think people think that we like mark this on a scoreboard, and that's just not the case. My goal is to have less marks on the scoreboard, less arrests. And
if your jail was empty, it would be great,
well,
right?
We should all be able to live in a community without fear of crime or disorder, and you should be able to live in your home without fear of crime or disorder, and that's the overwhelming goal of, you know, law enforcement, and people miss that point, I think, oftentimes.
Well, and people don't understand, you guys are humans,
right?
All of the officers I've met do have a heart.
Here's just a funny story of how human we are. I was in Quick Trip a couple days ago, maybe buying Glazers, maybe not.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, there was a little kid there with his dad, and he said to his dad, he goes, Dad, why is there a cop here? And I was eating and drinking just like
a normal
do.
Human.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's just funny to me because that's life. Like,
well, yeah.
We get lunch breaks, and we have to eat and drink and use the restroom, and it's just
I'm
crazy
shocked
to me.
I never knew all this. But I think I have learned a lot in the last 2 years of doing this.
Sure.
I was probably one of those naive people, almost 2 years ago, where I would have been like, why are there two squad cars parked outside of a Quick Trip?
Yeah.
You probably ran into each other and were like, hey, what's up? How you been? How are things going?
it really
it's nothing
is
nefarious.
It really is that simple.
Right?
I mean, at the end of the day, it really is that simple. And it's just interesting to me.
I mean, I remember some of the first Coffee with Kyles that we did. I was like, I saw you on Marquette Road. What were you doing?
Yeah.
And you're like, turns out I don't just sit in the office.
Yeah, like I drive places. And
yeah.
I have meetings to go to.
But it actually was very interesting because I think at that time you were like, there was a fire last night and I was going to Walmart to buy supplies for the family.
Yeah, yeah.
And again, that was one of the more eye-opening things for me because I asked the question kind of as a joke.
Yeah.
Like, what were you doing? Just out driving around, wasting gas? Like, haha, funny.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, no, I was doing this. And I was like, whoa. I would have never thought that would be something in your realm.
Here's a great example. Every year around this time, we go to Walmart and we get cartloads of hams and potatoes and canned goods and vegetables and cookies and these types of things, and we box these items up. But the number of comments that we get, like, why are you guys here? What are you doing? What? And we're like, we're just grocery shopping, and we happen to be grocery shopping for other people. It's not nearly as exciting as what people try to make it out to be. And that's okay, I think, you know. And at the end of the day, we are people. We just happen to wear a badge 2,080 hours a year and have that fortune to do what we like doing. So,
well, and I mean, like I said, I think it's just things, we have a definite misconception of what your role in a community is.
Oh yeah. Well, and that's based on history. I mean, the reality is there's been, through the course of history, police have been the face of the justice system, and you see us when people are doing things wrong, and it's going to take generations for us to change that.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, we're here in Prairie du Chien, and, yeah, you know, you do a lot of community policing. I mean, if you look at the Prairie du Chien Police Department Facebook page, like, I mean, I would jokingly say, do you guys ever write tickets? You're playing kickball with kids, you know, and yeah, I know you do. That was a joke. Yeah. You know, you're playing kickball with kids. You're serving coffee at a holiday parade. Like, there's so much that you guys are involved with the community that people, I would say, in our area would have a hard time believing that you're some, you know, terrible organization that's just the arm of the justice system and just wants to go write tickets and whatnot.
Yeah.
However, we're an isolated community.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is I would much rather people know me as Kyle than to know me as Chief. And that's, I almost cringe when people call me Chief, because I'm like, I'm not that special. Like, I'm just a dude. And as a matter of fact, just a couple other stories. I was at Walmart checking out, and the guy standing next to me at the checkout was like, hey, aren't you a cop? And I'm like, well, right now I'm just a shopper. I'm just a dad shopping for groceries. And he's like, well, yeah, no, but aren't you a cop? I don't want to be seen as that guy. I want to be seen as a grocery shopper. And maybe I signed up for this with a false expectation, but even with my staff, we did interviews a couple of months back, and one of the people referred to me as Chief, and I said, just stop with that. Like, just call me Kyle.
I shouldn't call you Chief?
No, I would appreciate just Kyle, because the reality is in the grand scheme of things, I don't think that the public really understands the difference between Chief, Sergeant, Lieutenant, Captain, all those things. The general public
don't, and you've explained it to me like three times.
The general public has no conception whatsoever. No. And that's okay. That's the way it should be. I shouldn't be a title. I should be a person, and that's important to me. And that's really what this job is about. And I happen to have a badge that says a title on it, and that really doesn't mean much other than I have some enforcement actions that are, you know,
some responsibilities.
Right. But I think I have just as much responsibility as a person in this community, and I reinforce that with my staff time and time again. And of your listeners, I'm sure there's a lot of listeners that know, you know, the said name of a police officer, and that's the way it should be. That's really the way it should be.
I mean,
we should be known as people.
Well, and you're members of the community. Yeah. Like, it's not like you go to work and then you just shrink back into your house and never leave.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm a bit of an introvert. I think that might have been a dig on me, but that's okay. I can deal with that. At the same time, when I'm accessible, about 90% of my life. And I have to have that balance.
It's like being a radio DJ.
Whether it's an email address or a you know, desk number or a cell phone number.
I mean, there has never been a time on a random Wednesday evening when a random radio DJ is like, I have a question. Yeah. I wonder if Kyle will answer this. And you do.
Yeah, and Gabe sends me messages and says, hey, there's this car parked down the street. And I'm like, we'll look into it. And you're like, hey, I'm reading this book. Is it really true? Does the FBI really come out on this? And I'm like, well, jeepers criminy. Let me go flip my burgers here quick, and then I'll answer you.
And, you know, I do appreciate you answering, because the context of my book then makes sense.
Yeah.
And I can be like, hey, you know, Kyle says this is real. So,
yeah, I just, it's one of those things. And maybe that's a bad thing. I don't know. I don't see it as a bad thing.
I mean, it's the same as, you know, people walk up to me and I'm Lori Wilde, and they'll talk to me like what I've said on the radio, I was saying directly to them.
Sure. Yeah.
Sometimes I have to remember what I said on the radio.
I think that's powerful.
Well, I mean, I'm a member of this community too. And if they're going to listen to me on the radio, you know, I want to engage with them. I want people to come up and say, you know, Kyle's right. You shouldn't decorate for Christmas on November 1st. No, I love when people do that because one, it means I actually have listeners. Yeah. And two, you know, they want to engage as well. Yeah. And, you know, I want to be an active participant in my community. So it makes sense.
Yeah. I will say this. The investment that we've made in our community has come back tenfold, though. I mean, it really has. And I tell my staff this all the time. The support that we have from our community, sometimes it's like, it's tangible. Like, we can feel it. And,
that's a
good feeling to have. And there's a lot of things we could not do without the support of our community. We could not have a canine program.
I was just going to say, the whole canine program is amazing.
Yeah, we could not have a Stuff the Squad that's successful. We could not do these things without the support of our community. And so we really have to thank these people, because I have a set budget, but donations and generosity of just random people in our community really fill that gap of where my budget falls short and the needs of our community and the needs of our police department. And so that stuff is amazing to me. And I've said this before. Our community is incredible. When you know, there's a benefit or whatever that's going on, the generosity of the people of this community, and not just Puerto Sheen, but of our area, is incredible to me.
Yeah, it's always good to. And I think this time of year, Christmas time, you kind of reflect on how blessed you are in certain things. And I don't mean to sound cringy, but I mean, it is. It's one of those times of year where you can be like, wow, it is really great to be lucky enough to live here.
Yeah, definitely.
And I mean, you could be in communities. I am sure there are police chiefs across the nation that wish they had the community support you have.
For sure. I know this for a fact.
Yeah. And I'm sure that they're just envious of what you have. I'm sure you're also envious of some other police departments.
You have to keep everything in perspective and really count your blessings. And I mean, that's kind of the time of the year that we're in. So
yeah. Well, that was a very touching moment.
We like it. Yeah. We'll end on that.
We'll end on that happy note. So it's Coffee with Kyle, the extended version from Dunkin' Donuts here in Prairie du Chien.